You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Don't you see? It's so simple. Step one, we Google the biggest flops on Broadway. Step two, we find the crazy stories behind them. Step three, we see how they lose millions of dollars.
Millions?
Broadway isn't cheap. A lot of fancy people want to be producers. Step four, find out why the show won't go on. Step five, end this episode and head to Times Square.
Times Square? That'll never work. Only Broadway successes are in Times Square.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Welcome!
Hey, theater geeks!
Hello.
Hi, welcome to a mini-sode where we're not going to talk about a flop or a scandal. I mean, new works, is she? So, our theme song.
We're going to talk about something really cool tonight that I didn't have any inkling that this thing even existed until you sent me the link to it.
Yeah.
And kind of mentioned it when we were recorded last as well. But right, I still was like, what? What is that? And called the Antonio Awards.
Yeah, this was their inaugural ceremony.
Oh.
So that's why you'd never heard of it before. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they did. Okay. Then I have even more props to give them because
right,
to do it in the midst of a pandemic, all on basically Zoom or like where people are singing duets with each other, but they are not in the same room and they are probably
having a tap battle.
Yes. The tap battle was amazing. All done via Zoom. Like, how nuts is that?
Yeah.
Craziness. Yeah. That was really cool. So there you go.
Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. So that was on Juneteenth, this past Friday, June 19th. And so Pamela and I watched those. They were produced by the hosts of Broadway Black. And I mean, it was bananas good.
It was
that opening.
I didn't get to see the opening because I started watching it late. I came in at the point where they did like a montage of different numbers from different Black-centric shows. So you started with Shuffle Along and you had a song from The Wiz. You had a song from Phantom of the Opera because Norm Lewis just played as the first Black man playing the Phantom of the Opera. Mm-hmm. I can't remember any of the other songs, but like those performances were spectacular.
Yeah.
Spectacular. Yeah. Absolutely stunning. It was really cool.
It was really cool. The opening, they sang the Black anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. And then after that, it was like a song I don't know. So my guess is somebody wrote it. Guys, totally at us. But it was real beautiful. I mean, it was fire. Like, I was like, the thing has barely started. And this is one of the best things I've ever seen.
You're just sitting in your chair crying. You're like, oh, this is the best. No, I wasn't crying, though.
But I was like, holy crap.
That kind of stuff makes me cry all the time. It, like, to hear beautiful music sung well moves my spirit so much that I will absolutely, I cannot control the tears. I cannot control the tightening in my throat and just the tears that will well up. I love those kind of moments.
There were a lot of those in that award show. It was really, like Pamela said, really well done, especially pandemic.
Yeah.
All done via Zoom, your first time out. Like, none of these people had ever created an award show before.
It was really, really well done.
Yeah.
I mean, the production value, aside from the fact that it was all had to be done through kind of webcams, was still very good. It was spot on. The segues were very short. You didn't ever feel like you were just waiting for the next. Because sometimes I feel like I'm just waiting for the next award on the Tonys.
Yep.
This time I was not. It punched straight through. It was like, here's one, and now here's one. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm going to talk about this now. And it's like, it was great.
Yeah, it was great. And even the times that they wanted to talk about something else, like there were a couple of times they did it in like sketch version, which Not all of those went over well, because sometimes I couldn't quite understand what was being said. Yeah, and I think some of that was
when you talk over each other in a Zoom, sometimes one voice disappears from the other. So yeah, I do agree with you there. Those were a little bit difficult to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was really it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the voices that you heard were just dynamic.
So talented. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was really cute about the winners was LaShawn's and her daughter won.
Oh.
So LaShawn's won for best actor in a musical off Broadway in The Secret Life of Bees. And then her daughter, Celia Rose Gooding, won best featured actor in a musical on Broadway for Jagged Little Pill.
Oh, fun.
So they both made history together, which is really sweet.
I liked really sweet. Her speech, Celia's speech. It was really sweet. And obviously, these speeches had to be recorded ahead of time. So you were just recording it, not really sure if you were going to win or not. So it's this kind of weird balance, but I liked the speeches too. A lot of them just kind of gave credit to being Black and in theater and finally having a place to belong.
Right. Right.
Which is sad, but also really awesome that the place now exists.
Yeah. Cause we have the NAACP awards. Mm-hmm. I feel like in film and television, there are a lot of award ceremonies and music as well to honor, Black artists, but there's nothing in the theater.
Yeah.
I feel like, Shuffle would have cleaned up pretty well if this had happened 4 years ago. Guys, I talk about Shuffle a lot because I'm still upset. So
it's upsetting. It's upsetting that it was just so summarily dismissed by the white producers. It's just it's not going to work. Still mad. Let's blame it on Audra.
So messed up.
It is messed up.
Well, speaking of Audra, who won for best actor in a play on Broadway, and Frankie and Johnny and the Claire de Lune, and then best revival for Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough. Okay. I talked a little bit about this in a minisode because I finally got to see it. I think it was 2010 when the film came out that had Janet Jackson, everybody in it.
I had no idea.
I think it was two.
The same title?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It's just a movie version of this play because this play was came out in the 70s. And so I went to see it in the fall. Listen, time is a construct right now, so I'm saying the fall. I might be lying. You guys can go to the TGA B-Way Instagram and check me because I posted a photo the night I went to see it. I could be lying. I don't know. I hope I'm not. We'll see. I think I've said this before too, but every time within the last 2 years I've seen choreography that I had just become obsessed with, when I look in my playbill, it's the same person. It's Camille A. Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
And she won for best choreography for that play. And the way that she tells story through the body, because these women who were in this play, not all of them are dancers.
Mm-hmm.
But she just... like that with the costumes and the music. It was just so well done. It was so well done. Oh man. If you missed it, I'm sorry for you because you missed out. And then speaking of which, best costumes went to Toni Leslie James for Colored Girls as well.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com.
Yeah, and then, you know, Strange Loop took home some stuff, which everybody knew was probably going to happen. Slave Play took home one with Shalia Latour. Jasmine Cephas Jones, she took home one for Cyrano, which I wanted to see but did not get a chance to go see. Best musical was the Tina Turner musical. And
what was that up against? Because I think that was just before I turned it off.
I didn't list the nominees. No, because
that's okay.
Yeah, I didn't list the nominees. I think Jagged Little Pill was one of them.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was, but I can't remember the others. I think there was like three or four others.
Nice.
And then speaking of which, best actor in a musical on Broadway, Adrienne Warren, she also won the Drama Desk Awards. So to switch over to another award show, the Drama Desk Awards happened the week before. You could watch it online. It was also on New York One if you're still in New York and you have Time Warner Cable or what's called Spectrum now. I don't have Spectrum. Also, I'm not in New York right now, so I just watched it online. And it was 1 hour long.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, no, it was 1 hour long, and it was basically just Frank DiLella announcing who won. And they did this weird thing where, like, unlike what the Antonio Awards did, which honestly I think was smarter, like, let all the nominees give an acceptance speech. They, like, asked them a different question. And so, like, the acceptance speeches were all weird.
Yeah.
They were all really weird because you could tell that these people were not accepting their award. Like it looked like they were asked, what do you think of the Drama Desk Awards? Or what was your first experience with the Drama Desk Awards? Or those were like the questions I think they actually asked them to answer.
Boring.
It was weird. It was weird. I'm going to say Drama Desk. You're going to want to take a note from the Antonio Awards and do things that way if you ever have to do another like streaming award show, because that's not the way to do it.
No,
it wasn't great. But some of those winners, it was like, I mean, A Strange Loop took home book, lyrics, best new musical. And then A Soldier's Play took home the Drama Desk for Revival. The Inheritance took home for best play. For Colored Girls, Martha Redbone took home the award for music in a play. And then Moulin Rouge won for choreography, scenic design as well. And then a play I haven't been able to talk about yet. I might have talked about it in a mini-sode, but I'm not really sure. Grand Horizons.
Oh.
So Grand Horizons had a limited run. It only, for the Drama Desks, it won scenic design of a play. And I can spoiler the crap out of it because you guys aren't going to probably get to see it, unfortunately.
By the time you will again, perhaps you will have forgotten.
Yeah, maybe. So I really, really enjoyed this play. It was at the Helen Hayes Theater, which is owned by Second Stage. And it's about this elderly couple that has two sons. And they're living in like one of those 55 plus communities. And the play starts out and it was James Cromwell. And the woman who played his wife, she was exceptional. I can't remember her name right now. And so it starts off mundane. Like they're sort of like making their, you know, crystal light and putting their little dinner together. And they work together like it's like clockwork.
Let's see. Jane Alexander.
Yes, yes.
James Cromwell. And then you've got the two kids were... Yes.
Huh? Michael Urie.
Yes.
And was another one is from... he was on Gotham. He was television show.
Ben McKenzie?
Yeah, he was on Gotham.
Okay. Then also you've got Priscilla Lopez in the show.
Yeah, she's a spoiler, which I'll talk about in a second.
I'm sorry.
And then, no, it's okay. Okay. But then The wife is Ashley Park.
Yes.
That's Ben's wife, Ashley okay. Park. And so she's pregnant during the whole play.
Oh, fun. I've always wanted to do a show where I was pregnant, because then doesn't matter what you eat before the second show. Right.
Doesn't matter at all. Yeah.
And then you've got Malik Penchali.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know if I pronounced his name.
He was right in there not. For like a, he wasn't in there very long. He's like okay. a would-be hookup for Michael Urie's.
Okay. Yep. Those are all the people yeah. that are listed on the web.
It was great. And so the play starts out, they're making their little meal. They sit down and then, and then the wife says, I want a divorce. And they've been married like 45 years or some craziness. Sorry, guys. We had to take a pause because I had a visitor.
We've also been legitly, if that's mm-hmm. a word, and I'm going to say that it is, have been talking now for the last hour and a half
yeah.
about a gamut of things. And then you just paused and said to me, maybe we should close out this episode.
Might be a good idea.
You did want to mention a few other things, though. You yeah. weren't completely finished, right?
Right, because on the Drama Desk Awards, there were three special awards. One of them was the Ensemble Award, and that was to the cast of Octet. So that was Adam Bashian, Kim Blank, Star Busby, Alex Gibson, Justin Gregory Lopez, J.D. Mollison, Margot Siebert, and Kuhu Verma.
Cool.
Yeah. And then they gave a special award to Seth Rudetsky and James Wesley for all the stuff they've been doing with the Actors Fund and
awesome.
The Stars at Home and all of that.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to talk about this because this space was integral to the women's cycle. They also gave a special award to WP Theater and Julia Miles. Julia Miles apparently passed away in the spring. It used to be called the Women's Project and Productions, and the company began in 1978 at the American Place Theater, where Julia Miles served as associate to visionary artistic director Wynne Hanman, who also passed away this year. WP is the largest, most enduring American company that nurtures and produces works by female-identified creators. And one of the two shows that I produced last summer, In Search of Maria Teresa, did a lot of their rehearsals in the WP space.
Cool.
So really good people make wonderful space for theater makers to create and rehearse, and it's really exciting to see that they got a Drama Desk Honorary Award. So those were the last ones I just wanted to talk about with the Drama Desks and the inaugural Antonio Awards, and I'm super excited to talk about next year's Antonio Awards that like maybe could be in person.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
So that's it, you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm going to post this intermission this week, and then okay. we've got a full episode in
two weeks. Full episode. Super excited about it.
Yes.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.